I'm typing in what is, and I start typing blue. Or really, I start typing B. What's like the first thing that comes up?
What is blue mist?
What?
Isn't that a drink? Blue mist?
Is it?
It should be if it's not. That sounds like a drink name if I've ever heard one.
Wait, like a flavor or...
Yeah, that's more what? Like a flavor than it is a company name.
All right, so I typed in, it was Blue Man Group, by the way. I typed in, what is blue mist? And it says made of. So what?
Oh, that means it's a drink.
Oh, it's like a blueberry hashish for hookahs. That actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I'm into some blue mist.
Wicked smart, wicked cool, wicked fucking stupid, whatever the fuck, something wicked.
I'm baking like a toasted Caesar, it's so hot here!
My boy's wicked smart.
Cause the boy is hotter than hot, he's hot, hot,
hot! Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Well, Kevin, how are you?
I am good.
It's been kind of a long work week. I'm just excited to get back into the groove of things. Which, speaking of which, everybody, welcome again to another episode of Wicked Hot. Kevin and I are just kind of going over some things that just get us really sad inside. Kevin, I think you and I have covered a lot of pretty interesting topics over the last 2 weeks. I mean, we did go over sequels that weren't made. We went with characters that were replaced. You know, some people might even say that we'd be repeating last week, but I'm going to put them to rest because these characters technically weren't replaced. They were only replaced with either their own demise or kind of like how Christian Bale did with himself in the next movie.
Yeah, this is 100% a Christian Bale move.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so we're kind of going over characters that were either supposed to die or supposed to... God, I can never even get this right. I don't know how I struggle with this every time because it's honestly like an opposite thing. Like, I'm like, characters that were supposed to die but lived, and then characters that lived but were supposed to die.
There you go. You got it.
But it's... Oh, yeah, I guess I did get it.
Did you just flop two words, flip-flop them, two words?
Yeah. Yeah, but for some reason I was struggling so bad on that. I was like, characters that died, and then characters that died but lived. Like, it didn't make any sense. But yeah, how you doing, my man? How's it going?
Yeah, I agree with what you said at the beginning. This has been a long work week, and I'm glad to sit down and do the podcast.
I am as well. I have a beverage to my left of me. And yeah, I think we got a good episode coming up. So I don't know, man. Let's dive right into it.
Let's get into it.
So I know we both picked two characters, but you know, I was actually listening to the episodes beforehand. I feel like I've always been going first.
Okay, you want me to go first?
So I think I'm gonna pass the courtesy over to you, my man.
Okay, all right. So my first one is. not like a crazy iconic character, but a very important character in a very amazing show. And I'm talking about Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, bitch. You need to get the soundbite of it. Yeah, bitch.
So, yeah, he was actually supposed to die. And I can't... the way that the story kind of plays out if he dies... I don't think you have as good of a show or as good of an ending as you had in the actual show. So
it got to a certain point where I actually liked Jesse more than I did Walter White.
Yeah.
When I got to a certain point, Walter White was just like, oh, God, okay, we get it. You have cancer. Okay, yeah, your wife's a fucking bitch, but whatever.
I feel like you can't say that to anybody in the real world. Like, okay, we get it. You have cancer.
You could say it to Walter White, though.
Yeah, yeah, you could definitely say it about Walter White.
He's like probably the only cancer patient you actually would want to die of cancer, but at the same time, not.
Well, if you have only...
Unless Hitler had cancer, of course.
If you had only seen the first season, I think you would be like, oh man, Walter White, oh, he's in a shitty situation. And then at the end, he's like, fucking drug kingpin.
Does he even have cancer anymore at the end?
I
feel like he didn't have cancer after season one. If I'm being 100% honest, I feel like he lied.
I thought it did come back, but I don't think he has it at the end.
Well, he's got death at the end.
Yeah, he dies. He fucking dies.
Yeah.
Oh, so anyways.
Spoilers.
Anyways.
Yeah, continue. I'm sorry. So Jesse Pinkman, tell me more about this strange man.
So he was initially supposed to die at the end of the first season. And his whole existence in the show was to be killed off at the end of the first season and have Walter White going through like all these emotions and shit and kind of like driving him closer in later seasons towards being the drug kingpin. And that was supposed to set it off.
You'll have to remind me exactly what happens at the end of season one, because I haven't seen that show in so freaking long.
Oh, God, I don't even remember either, but it's nothing leading up to Jesse's death. Because they're cooking meth in the RV, and that's pretty much the whole season, is like they keep doing that. I don't remember a whole lot of the first season.
I feel like I need to revisit that show.
I do, too. Yeah, definitely.
Do you think that Jesse was being subsequently... like plans to be subsequently killed off? It's like, all right, we're not going to kill him in season one, but we need Walter White to get to the kingpin level. We'll kill him off in season two. We'll kill him off in season three, and so on and so on and so on. It's like Jesse basically has survived death. It's like, how many seasons were there? Seven times?
Yeah, seven
guys. Times. Basically a cat.
Yeah. So initially he was supposed to die at the end of season one. He was supposed to be like a whatever character to get Walter White, you know, to the end. The first season was actually interrupted by the 2007-2008 writer's strike, and it shortened the season. They had to rewrite most of the last few episodes of the season and then stop it after six instead of it being eight. So they completely rewrote the story to have Jesse in it. And apparently when... Vince Gilligan was writing at that time, he already realized that he wanted to keep Jesse on the show. Really? So it was like good timing for the writer's strike, because it made him go back and revisit the show and kind of rewrite it to keep Jesse in it.
Right.
So
damn, that's
like the show without Jesse is like nothing. There's no... And Grant, like, I don't think that Jesse's such a great character or a great... I don't even think Aaron Paul's a great actor.
He's not, but he's great for that role. And I love that
role. He is. Yeah. I don't even remember where I was going with that.
I will say this while you gather your thoughts. At first, when you told me you were going to do something Breaking Bad, I honestly was kind of excited and kind of disappointed, thinking that your pick would be Finn, a.k.a. Walt Jr. I was really hoping
like
that he was planned to be killed off in season one, and then disappointed that it never happened in the entire show. Because he's by far one of the most annoying characters.
But if you really go back to the show and like really watch his character, if you don't have his character, you don't know what is for breakfast that morning. So,
valid point. I retract my statement. Yeah, that kid is like kind of an asshole, honestly.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick.
He really is.
And what
also,
kid...
kudos to driving with both legs, honestly.
It's so hard.
I mean, was that it? Because then this brings a whole new realm of questioning. Was that a stick shift that he drove, or was it an automatic?
I think it was his dad's Aztec.
Okay.
So it would have been
an
automatic.
No, he got the fucking... No, but he got the Mustang, remember?
Oh, the Mustang at the end. I would hope that it's an automatic.
Because, again, bravo, sir.
Although, if you... Oh, no, I'm not even going to say it. No.
Okay. Yeah,
man.
So what were you...
So basically, when Vince Gilligan was rewriting this, he was like... And this was in an interview of him explaining why he didn't kill off Jesse. He just really liked Aaron Paul and didn't want to kill him off. And he grew to like Jesse, the character. But it was all like, I really like Aaron Paul. I don't want to put him out of the job. I think I'm going to keep him on.
So was he like basically saved by the writer's strike, ironically enough?
Yeah, he was. His character was saved by the writer's strike.
But, you know, it's funny because Vince Gilligan, I'm assuming if he wasn't tied to the character during the first season, that his lines must have been pretty weak. Because then it's probably like, you know, I don't know Kevin, right? And I make a movie and I'm like, oh, this character's whatever. And I meet Kevin, become friends with him. I'm like, actually, I think he could have a higher capacity. And then I'm just like, I'm gonna write some really good shit for him because he's my boy.
Yeah, I think it was that. It was like a combination of him actually wanting to keep the character for the story,
okay,
and him liking Aaron Paul as a person.
Wow, that's so sweet.
Which I don't think you see a lot in Hollywood.
Liking Aaron Paul?
No.
I was like, I didn't know Aaron Paul was so revered in Hollywood.
No, like people sticking their neck out for other people.
They're like, fuck that guy. Always call me, yeah, bitch.
I'm going to write that motherfucker out.
You know, it's funny enough that your character, Jesse Pinkman, was written off. It's also interesting. And my character was also liked too much to be kicked off and skedaddled out of there. And I'm talking none other but the chaos. I'm talking about Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
We need a little bit of the Goldblum laugh, the
we need some of that. He's in the helicopter.
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum is by far one of the best. He has basically like zero acting range, I think. I think he plays at this point of his life just Jeff Goldblum. He's lost it somehow.
He's doing him and he's having fun showing up to set and being himself.
Yep. That's a great job. Just show up to set, be yourself. So my pick here is Ian Malcolm. He's supposed to be dead at the end of Jurassic Park. So, story goes, Jeff Goldblum inadvertently, he basically kept the iconic Jurassic Park character from meeting his end. And surprisingly enough for Steven Spielberg, he also made Ian Malcolm a much more pivotal character than how he was written. And yes, Kevin, Jurassic Park was a book.
I know.
Okay.
Michael Crichton, right? Michael Crichton.
Yes, Michael Crichton.
Yeah.
Ian Malcolm for me is kind of a both a supposed to die and a supposed to live. The reason I say that is because I guess it's both part of like deals with the novel. So at the end of the actual book, Ian Malcolm ends up dying from injuries sustained, right?
You mean having his whole fucking side bitten by a T-Rex?
Exactly. And basically throughout the entire book, he's not as cool as how he is in the movie. So Spielberg basically thought Goldblum's portrayal was so well done that he went back to Michael Crichton.
was that funny? How could you think that? What? So this is Steven Spielberg. He did this?
Okay. You don't think Jeff Goldblum did a great job in Jurassic Park?
He did a job. I'll put it at that.
Oh my God. That's insane. I didn't think I was going to get this reaction. Jesus.
I don't like Jeff Goldblum. I think he's good in the role, but it's like,
guys, my face is literally gaping open from that statement. What?
Yeah, I mean, he's Jeff Goldblum. You've seen him in one movie, you've seen him in every movie. That's always been my thought.
I don't know if you could say that about 90s Jeff Goldblum.
So what else was
I'm thinking of, okay, I'm going to compare Jurassic Park Jeff Goldblum to Thor Ragnarok Jeff Goldblum. Did you see Thor Ragnarok?
I did not, but I knew he was in it.
Yeah, he's very much a character. We're in this. I mean, he's still a character, but he's less so.
So it's, I feel, less like Jeff Goldblum.
I suppose. In any case, I can't, that's insane to me. Not liking Jeff Goldblum is fucking unreal. But yeah, to much of everyone's to much of Kevin's surprise, Spielberg thought Goldblum's portrayal was actually good. And Steven Spielberg actually went back to Michael Crichton and asked that his character be saved. To which Michael Crichton didn't really like. But yeah, so he ended up bringing him back to life. So even though he was supposed to live in this movie, he also technically died at the end of the book.
Hmm.
But yeah, so...
That's interesting.
Interestingly enough, because everyone loved Jeff Goldblum so much in Jurassic Park, a lot of his fans, it spurred reaction for both Jeff Goldblum's portrayal in the movie and to be written in for a sequel. And then, of course, to be written in the sequel book by Michael Crichton. That's right, The Lost World, Jurassic Park, is also a novel. Did you know that?
I did know that. So did the book come out?
So I think the book came out in about 95. So obviously the movie came out in 92. Jurassic Park came out in 92.
So they hadn't made The Lost World. The book wasn't out for The Lost World when Jurassic Park was being made.
Right. I think The Lost World came out in 97.
Okay.
So, yeah, 92, we had Jurassic Park. 94, 95, Michael Crichton starts writing the book and publishes the book, where basically what happens is, which is, this is how he was also, like, supposed to die, and now he lived throughout the book. Michael Crichton kind of uses, like, a get-out-of-jail-free card with this and says that Costa Rican surgeons were so skilled. That's definitely fiction. I'm sorry, but if you're gonna get the least believable
part of the book about dinosaurs.
If he's getting mauled by a dinosaur and is on the inch of life, and never mind a doctor from Costa Rica, but even a doctor from America is not going to save you from your untimely death. First of all, you got to leave the island, right? The doctor didn't come there. You got to get to wherever, the hospital, whatever, and then they have to save you from being eaten by a fucking T-Rex. That's unreal. But yeah, so apparently those surgeons were magicians or wizards. They knew some sort of dark arts, sorcery, and were able to bring back Jeff Goldblum from the dead. Yeah, and then that's kind of how he lived.
Is he in any of the movie sequels?
Yeah, he's in The Lost World. He's the main character.
Okay.
There's no Dr. Grant or Dr. Sadler.
Oh, yeah. He's the one that takes the family back, right? Or is that the third one?
No, that's the third one. God. That's the one with Dr. Grant and Ellie Sadler.
Yes. God. What a terrible bunch of sequels.
Yeah. I would like a Samuel Jackson spinoff, though. Like when he's like...
Yeah, he's like a major young buck
getting into... No, that's not Samuel Jackson's character.
Yeah,
that's,
he's like Dennis. A computer guy.
Dennis is the computer guy.
No, Sam Jackson is like an engineer.
Jackson is, hold on to your butts. That's Sam Jackson.
Yeah, he's one of the engineers. He sits right next to Newman from Seinfeld.
Yeah, but I sit next to people, and that doesn't mean I know their fucking job.
No, he's like, he wears a fucking lab coat, and he's like always working on computers, and then at the end...
Dude, everyone but John Hammond and the safari guy wear a fucking lab coat in that movie.
That's fucking weird. I never thought about
that. Tell me I'm wrong about that.
No, you're right. I'm thinking back. I'm like, oh, there's a lot of doctors on this.
Oh, wait. Well, I'll say in like the main facility, because in like the Jurassic Park, there's the guys with the pink polos.
Yeah.
The pink polos and like the big 90s like trucker hat.
Yeah.
And, like, the short shorts. The khaki shorts.
Yeah, the khaki shorts. Yeah.
Those khaki shorts have like a 4-inch inseam.
And the big aviator sunglasses. Yep.
There you go.
Like
there
the wraparound, the Ray-Bans. Yeah.
Yep. Pretty sure there was 5 people working on that island.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm honestly like thinking about it. Like there's the 2 guys who open the gates when they first get to the park. There's John Hammond. We'll consider him an employee. That's 3.
Yeah.
There's the 2 drivers of the Jeeps that they're sharing. That's 5 people. And then you got...
I think it shows like
guy.
4 scientists.
Yes. No. Oh, true. Yeah, Dr. Wu. Forgot about them.
Yeah. And then so there's
like 9 people.
A couple people.
Samuel Jackson, the Safari Man, and Newman.
And Newman doesn't even work for them. He's a contractor.
Oh, shit. He's not even full time.
I wouldn't even call him an employee. He doesn't get benefits.
I forgot about the other guy who talks to him on like the one like payphone on like a fucking dock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We gotta go.
Yeah. No, you probably see like 10 people on that movie that work there.
Okay. I mean, it's not like a huge operation. I understand the park's not open
yet. I feel like a dinosaur theme park should have more than 10 people there to run the operations.
To get the fucking park started. Yeah. I agree completely.
To at least be there if shit happens.
Exactly.
So my next one is apparently a little known movie that people haven't seen before. It's Paranormal Activity.
Oh, yes. That moon.
That classic cinema.
The classic found footage film where the ending involves a ghost coming into a room. Per my description of how the movie goes.
Yeah, I literally asked John before we started if he had seen Paranormal Activity and how it ended. And he said, I know a ghost comes into the room. And that was the end of his explanation of the movie.
Now, this gets us back a little bit to our demon talk or demon/ghost talk. Is this a ghost or a demon?
It's definitely a demon.
Okay.
Because it's got claws for starters.
It has claws? You actually see the demon?
Well, he throws a flower down on the ground at night to see like what's coming in and out. And they don't see anything on the recording, but there's like claw prints in the flower.
Nope. Not doing that.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah. So tell me about this demon. Oh, was the demon supposed to not even exist? This was supposed to be like a romantic comedy. And they were like, no, there's going to be a demon in it.
Paranormal Activity. In this movie. No. So I guess I'll give you a gist of the movie. So this chick moves in with her boyfriend and weird things start happening. They use like Ouija board and all that shit, and it's just things starts going crazy, and turns out that she's had some shit happen to her when she was little and kind of like blocked the memory out, and
what
now all this shit's happening.
Shit? Like she was diddled?
No, like there was a fucking demon fucking taunting her.
A demon diddling. Gotcha. Continue.
So the demon comes back and starts fucking with them again. And then she ends up getting possessed and kills her boyfriend with a sharp, stabby knife. And
only kind of knives I know. Actually, butter knives are very sharp and stabby. But continue.
Yeah. So she kills her boyfriend at the end. So she, this is where I actually get to my pick. She was actually supposed to die at the end of the movie. And it was initially, the movie was like a really small budget, like indie film that Paramount Pictures ended up buying.
Yeah.
So they bought the movie as it was, and it had her dying at the end. She, I guess the cops come, and she slits her own throat with the knife. Would have loved to have seen that ending, because that sounds awesome.
Yeah, that sounds really sweet.
And Paramount didn't like it.
What was the end of the movie?
So the end is she kills her boyfriend, and then the cops, like, it shows, like, their room or whatever. Cops come, find his body, and she's nowhere to be found. That's the end of the movie. Nobody can find her.
I don't know. That makes me kind of scared. That one makes me more scared.
It definitely makes you more scared, but hold your thoughts on that.
Okay.
So Paramount didn't like the ending because they wanted it to set up sequels.
Ugh.
So the only reason the filmmaker didn't really want to do this, but Paramount had the final say. They owned the fucking movie. And they went back and reshot the two endings. One that had her getting arrested, and one that had her escaping or nowhere to be found or whatever. And they ended up going with that so they could set up some sequels.
Is the alternate ending on the DVD? That's usually what they do. Alternate ending.
I'm pretty sure.
Buy the DVD.
I'm pretty sure it is. I've never actually watched the DVD. I saw it in theaters 3 times.
Oh, damn. Kevin liked this movie.
I'm a big fan of the first Paranormal Activity. The second and third one are awful. They're so bad. I actually laughed through the third one.
Okay. So how does it set up the second one? I thought that's like a demon.
Yeah, you know what's weird? Herself, like,
and a demon isn't confined to bodies. We know this.
So the second one, I think the second one picks up like, I think the second one's a prequel, honestly, and it leads up like right to where the first one picks up. I think.
Oh.
Like they're intertwined, and then the third one's just like a different family or something.
It's like a Hispanic family, right?
No, that's a different one. The Ghost Dimensions or something.
The Marked Ones, I think.
The Marked Ones, yeah. And then there's a Ghost Dimensions one. Geez. So there's 5 total.
So it's like a Saw movie where like all the timeline makes no sense. Yeah, so it's funny because I actually teased this before. I said I was going to talk about 2 Star Wars characters on this show. And I'm about to hit the first one real hard. Real hard.
Nice.
So everyone's favorite smuggler is being featured on this. And I'm talking about Han Solo.
He's not my favorite smuggler.
Who's your favorite smuggler?
Isn't Lando a smuggler in the olden days?
I guess, but we've never really seen the Lando smuggler. I would say Lando's like your favorite, like, civil governor. He is the mayor of Cloud City, so I think. I don't know.
He's my favorite mayor in the whole franchise, I guess I could say.
He's the best mayor in the
galaxy. He's my favorite politician in the franchise. How about that?
Ooh, okay. That's a good one. I would disagree with that statement, but that's fine.
You can't just say that and then not say who your favorite is.
Oh, we'll get to that later on in the show.
Oh,
we'll get
wow. To that.
Oh, yeah. Foreshadowing. Actually, that was unintentional foreshadowing. Anyway, so yeah, Han Solo. So despite Han Solo's more recent death in spoilers,
because he fucking dies.
The Force Awakens. He was actually slated to meet his doom much sooner than expected. So yeah, both Harrison Ford and Lawrence Gaston, writer of both Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. And I'm pretty sure he wrote these other two, but I digress. Both of them wanted Han Solo to die near the end of Return of the Jedi. Basically how it was going to go is Han Solo, instead of Lando, was on the Millennium Falcon, and he dies during like the Battle of the Death Star, but like a noble sacrifice. So Harrison Ford actually said that he was less than thrilled for making the Return of the Jedi movie because he never thought Han ever really offered any sort of passion or sacrifice to like the rebellion, like Luke and Leia. Like Luke and Leia are gung-ho about the rebellion, about doing all the shit they're doing. And I feel like Han Solo is just kind of like there for the ride.
He's like the third wheel who's just going along. Like, he's just like I look back on my childhood and I never played Pokemon in my life, but I bought the cards because all my friends had it. I feel like that's how Han is with the rebellion. Like, he's just there because he wants to hang out with Luke and Leia.
And play Pokemon, which, by the way, you're not the only kid. I'm pretty sure we're the majority and people that actually bought the game. Like, I don't think anyone... Did anyone ever play the Pokemon game?
I never saw anyone ever play the game.
I feel like people just collected the cards. But that's me. And I guess that's you, too. And yeah, probably more people. But yeah, I agree. Like, Han... He just was there, right?
Yeah.
So basically, Harrison Ford thought that his sacrifice would have paid off in regards to character development. Like, basically, Han Solo didn't give a fuck about the rebellion or anything, the Force, blah blah blah, in A New Hope. And honestly, I feel like he just was around during Empire Strikes Back. I don't think he actually still really cared. He was just like, I'm repairing the Millennium Falcon, and I got to go to Jabba to pay off my debt, right?
Yeah.
So obviously it would have been a huge development for Han Solo, because he actually, you know, does something that matters.
And that's what Harrison Ford wanted?
That's what Harrison Ford wanted, and the writer, Lawrence Kasdan.
Oh, wow.
But George Lucas shot both of them down because, honestly, George Lucas was just being greedy as fuck. He told both of them that Han Solo's death would have cut into toy sales, and there wouldn't be any future in dead Han toys.
Wow.
Imagine that's like a Han Solo in like packaging. It's like action figure. He's got like X's on his eyes or something.
Oh man, I could see a toy company doing that.
Yeah, they totally should. Yeah. So thoughts on Han's potentially dying in Return of the Jedi?
I really like that idea. And like, it's hard because I like the character. I don't want him to die, but yeah, I mean, I kind of see he's just like, he's there. He's hanging out. He's doing him. Like,
yeah,
he needed something else. Like, he needed something to live for, and it was nothing.
Yeah.
He needed something to die for, technically. And it was the rebellion, and he didn't fucking do it.
Yeah. What he died for was to hand off the torch to the sequels, which are whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically what his point became. He was a plot device to... I mean, Harrison Ford was happy about the way Han Solo died in Force Awakens, but I don't know. I feel like his death would have meant something more to, like, the fans than to be just, like, killed by his son, Adam Driver.
Yeah, I agree. I like the way that he died in Force Awakens, but I also don't think it had that big of an impact as if he would have died at the end of the original trilogy.
See, and I would have been on board with George Lucas had it not been for, like, toy sales. Like, if George Lucas was like, no, because then if Han Solo dies, like, we have, like, a character we've loved throughout like three movies at this point, and he just gets killed when the trilogy's supposed to essentially finish. Like, yeah, we defeated the Empire, but fucking Han Solo's death. Like, yeah. Is that not going to be addressed? You know, like, Darth Vader died. Yeah. And we got the little funeral, but I don't think that, like, and I fucking love Darth Vader, but he was a villain until basically like the last like 5 minutes of the
movie. Yeah.
Han Solo was the good guy the entire time. If we had the same, like, oh, here's the funeral pyre of Darth Vader, here's the funeral pyre of Han Solo, okay, now it's time to hang out with all the Force ghosts, because Han Solo's not going to come back as a ghost. He's not Force sensitive. So...
That's true.
We're stuck with, oh, well, at least Luke and Leia are siblings. Like, I don't even...
So, you wouldn't have wanted him to die.
I can see if George Lucas had that argument, I'd be like, yeah, no, that makes sense. But he didn't. I basically argued for George Lucas.
Yeah. toy sales is a cop out, because I look back and I'm like, what movies care about toy sales? And it's like Batman movies, obviously.
Yeah.
And like superhero movies. Not, I don't know. I feel like if you're trying to make a good movie, you can't worry about toy sales.
Agreed. And I think it suffered for it, but at the same time, Return of the Jedi ended like the war is over, even though it wasn't. But like the war is over, we've defeated the Empire, and they lived happily ever after.
Yeah.
Like that's like the typical like fantasy ending. I don't know how you could handle like Han Solo dying and be like, okay, well the mission was completed, but we lost like our best friend, Princess Leia lost her man. Han Solo, Luke Skywalker lost his like best friend. And assuming Chewbacca wasn't on the Millennium Falcon, we also lost Chewbacca.
You so know like that two, motherfucker's there.
Yeah, you know that's two main characters that are dead. Two like good guys. That would have been hard to sell.
Yeah, I understand why it didn't work out like that, but damn. I feel like it would have been such a better ending to the first trilogy.
Oh yeah, 100%. They could have done this. Han Solo could have died in the middle of the movie, and then they're like, we need to strike back, and then they destroy the Death Star because of, I don't fucking know, Han Solo's memory.
Yeah, I
don't know.
Yeah.
I get behind that.
I could get behind that.
Okay. So Han Solo is fucking dead.
He was dead.
So he was supposed to die but lived, but guess what? He lived and then he ended up dying anyway in Force Awakens. So I basically had a twofer for each of my picks there.
Nice.
Each of my real picks, at least.
Nice.
Which I feel like I'm about to get a what if scenario right now.
Yeah. My I guess honorable mention or what if is one of my favorite characters in Game of Thrones. And I feel...
Oh, shit. I didn't even know what you were doing. So I was... I'm pretty... Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah. I know a lot of people get killed off, but I would have loved to have seen what they could have made if Ned Stark had lived.
But you know, contractually, Sean Bean is contracted to die.
He has to die.
He has to die in every fucking movie.
I know... Okay, so literally... If Ned Stark lives, the entire series is different. Like, you know, drastically different.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have a theory. George R. R. Martin knew this book was going to be made into a TV show. So, like, he went back in time and told himself that Sean Bean was going to be Ned Stark, and that's how he's written off as a dead man in Game of Thrones. It was because Sean Bean was cast, not because Ned Stark was supposed to die. The war was going to happen some other way. He was just like, oh, this is a good cop. Like, he knew in every Sean Bean contract, it's like, he dies. He always dies.
Yeah. And he gets paid for dying, basically. Because he dies in everything. But yeah, I would have really loved to have seen him live, even though, obviously, I know the show would be completely 100% different. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen the father figure to the Stark children and... I don't know, so I got some Stark adventures.
That should be a spinoff. Stark adventures. So I got a question for you. If he did live, how would your Game of Thrones game start?
I think if he lived, I think he would be the one that kills Joffrey. And
like beheads him?
Maybe, yeah. Or one way and another, or kills Cersei, and she's just fucking out of the show in like the third season or whatever.
Wait, but so then how would the first season play out?
He wouldn't like get his head chopped off at the end.
So he escapes, like that whole thing happens.
Yeah, like
except he escapes.
Joffrey actually does what he says he's gonna do and banishes him from the Seven Kingdoms.
Oh, okay.
He goes off, trains with the fucking Dorne people, the Dornish, learns some sick shit from that one dude.
Can I say I'm so glad this has a training montage? You got me on training montage. A Ned Stark training montage a la Rocky.
Yeah, so he's training with the Dornish. And then he eventually sneaks back up into the north and meets up with his family. And then it gets all of his peeps together, starts marching south. And let's say Jon Snow's still at the wall.
Okay.
Dealing with them White Walkers.
So the Jon Snow storyline stays the same.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I want Stark to be there to verify John's legitimacy. Okay. You know, at the end, for him to be like, yeah, he's a Targaryen, not a Stark.
Okay. It just, Ned Stark, just something comes over, he's like, yeah, fuck it. He's not my kid.
Yeah, I mean, that's that's the end of... So Ned Stark marches, White Walker's gonna... So it could be like the same ending, except Ned is... like one of the allies.
So he's the king, or no? What happens to Daenerys? Are we still throwing Daenerys in this, or?
You're really putting me on the spot with the eight season story arc here.
I'm sorry. Like I'm trying to know where the show's going. Okay, you could run through a couple quick through. Is Dany alive?
Yeah.
Is she still have the same relationship with Jon?
Yeah.
Does she hate Ned Stark?
I think she does.
Who's king at this time?
King in the north? Or king...
Or like, who's king in King's Landing? Did Ned Stark put a king there?
I think that could play out the same. If he kills Joffrey, Cersei could take over. Or the next kid in line. That could play out the same. Then Cersei takes over. So,
Do we get to see Grey Worm's dick? Or no dick.
Yes, we get to see his no dick in my version.
So after watching 20 minutes of pointless sex scene with Grey Worm, Jesus, we actually get to see the hump or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's good. Honestly, I was just leading up to that question.
Yeah, that's the question that everyone wanted. And do you think we're going to get that in the last season?
No. If we didn't get it... after like the one episode that was dedicated to it, we're not getting it. Okay. So far, is Jaime Lannister dead?
No, I think that would play out the same. And then Jaime goes to fight with Ned.
I like it. I need a Jaime spinoff.
I love Jaime.
He's seriously
him and his character. Bronze hand or whatever, his gold hand.
His Louis Vuitton hair. Oh, okay. I can dig Ned living, and you provided enough evidence for me to be okay with that. I'm good with the way it all still plays out.
Yeah, the issue with that is you don't have the Arya thing, because she's got daddy issues after he dies, and then the whole Sansa thing probably never would have happened.
All right, so some bad shit's got to happen to them.
Yeah, got to happen one way or another.
Come up with one.
Well, the mom could still die in the Red Wedding.
Okay, I'm good with the mom dying.
And Robin.
But what happened with Arya?
She witnessed her dad die, and then she said, fuck it.
No. I know that, but I'm saying, like, what could happen to her?
Oh, if he didn't die?
Maybe he dies anyway.
Maybe she could be at the Red Wedding and escape, like she was initially.
Yeah, but she can just go back to her dad. Okay, so basically Arya and Sansa are throwaway characters.
Yeah, they're throwaway characters. In my story, they're throwaway characters.
I mean, I think Sansa needs to die at this point, but that's me.
Yeah, 100%.
Anyway, thanks for tuning in on Game of Thrones Weekly. We're definitely going to be doing that come the next season, whenever
come
the fuck
2019.
Yeah,
we're announcing it right now. We're gonna have a Game of Thrones show 1 year from now.
Exactly. All right, so I'm down with Ned Stark living. I'm down with it. So like I said, man, I'm just gonna keep going. I'm just gonna be powering through with the Star Wars stuff. My character here, yeah. My character here, who should have lived, is none other than the Senate, a.k.a. Emperor Palpatine, because he is the Senate. I hope people got that. I don't know. I know Christian would get that, my brother, because Emperor Palpatine is the Senate. And anyone who subscribes to prequel memes. So, Kevin, before I go any further on this one, I just want to make sure you don't care about Last Jedi spoilers.
No, I don't really care.
You don't care? No. Okay. So to anyone, I'm going to try to not make it spoiler-y, but if it does, here's a fair warning. So let me just get this out of the way. Emperor Palpatine should have lived. Now, as far as the sequels are concerned, Adam Driver, I like him as Kylo Ren. No, a lot of people don't like him, but I'm a fan of him. He's probably the only villain in a Disney property that has some conflict within him and isn't a throwaway garbage villain character.
Yeah, he's not 100% evil.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, we also got Snoke, a.k.a. Discount Emperor. He is not a good character. I never liked him in Force Awakens. And surprise, he does not get any better in The Last Jedi. He's about as dull and boring, sitting in his chair, wearing his fucking Hugh Hefner bathrobe. That's all he does. So if my thoughts were, if we're going to have Discount Emperor, I just get fucking rid of Discount Emperor and just put in the fucking Emperor. So in the Star Wars Expanded Universe, a.k.a. Legends, a.k.a. a treasure trove of stories that for some reason aren't used. We have a story where Emperor Palpatine is basically reborn at the end of Return of the Jedi. So his actual body dies, but he has a series of clones of himself, which he can enter as like a force ghost, like a channel. He channels himself into these clones. I honestly could get behind that because like he basically has like the secret facility and he gets like he is basically reactivated somehow. And we still get the Emperor. Like, we can have him dormant. Like, it takes a while for, you know, the clone to basically come out. But in Force Awakens, we can have it where he's been out for a while. The First Order still exists, right? And he basically seduced. Because how much more awesome would it be if the guy that Luke Skywalker's dad defeated is basically back alive and tormenting Luke, like, yeah, your father killed me, but now I have your nephew. Now he's part of the dark side and he serves me. So they basically could have easily redone this with using Emperor Palpatine. He could have lived, been the antagonist, seduced Adam Driver to the dark side, and we could have brought back Ian McDiarmid as Emperor Palpatine, because, I mean, he's already like in his 70s, 80s, which is basically the age that he was when he essentially died on the Death Star in Return of the Jedi. So, Kevin, thoughts on Emperor Palpatine?
I'm 100% on board with that. I love that idea.
How is that pitch, by the way?
That was a great pitch, and it explained the whole Force Awakens shit, because I did not like Snoke either. I thought it was stupid.
Yep.
I thought the character looked stupid. I thought the character was stupid. I'm totally on board with this because I love the Emperor. Not my favorite politician, though.
Yeah, that's my favorite politician. I hope you caught on to that.
Yeah. So I'm into this. That's a really good idea, especially if it's out there. If that type of story is out there in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah. Basically, in that same story, I mean, again, you know, like, people take inspiration from the story and doesn't have to be. In that actual story, it's called Dark Empire. Basically, Luke Skywalker he finds the Emperor, but then he, like the Emperor kind of explains his reasoning that he's not light or dark, and he's kind of, like, mastered the use of both. And Luke Skywalker submits himself to his teaching and basically becomes his apprentice for like a second. But I figured in this scenario, Kylo Ren, he's young, and he's seduced by the Emperor. He doesn't know it's the Emperor until he finds out it is the Emperor reborn. And it would be so much better if the Luke, Leia, and Han had to go up against the Emperor again. Because, I mean, I don't know if I'm wrong in this, but Darth Vader is basically the main antagonist of the trilogy. The Emperor only gets really introduced, like, as a person with more lines is in Return of the Jedi. Like, he has a brief thing, like a, you know, telepresence thing with Darth Vader in Empire Strikes Back. But in Return of the Jedi, he's a prominent, like, he's the prominent.
Yeah, he's kind of the puppet master. But Darth right. Vader is, like, the face of the dark side and the
right
the Empire.
Right. So if we were able to get the Emperor back into it, I think, one, it would be awesome because it's Emperor Palpatine, and it would have made the sequel 1,000 times. So that's why I think the Emperor Palpatine should have lived.
Nice. So mine, my next character is one that actually should have died or should die in subsequent sequels. It's fucking Tyrese in the Fast franchise. This guy's got to go, man. He has got to go.
He should never have been born.
I can't stand... I'm a fan of the Fast franchise. I know you hate it, and you walked out of the Paul Walker tribute.
You'll never let me live that down.
I will never let you live that down.
I was like, fuck this guy. I'm glad he's dead. I'm sorry. That's not really true, but... Funny enough, that's what Kevin thinks.
That's what I think, yeah. So, I think Tyrese is the worst part of the second movie, and he's the worst part of every sequel ever. And I just want...
Even outside of the Fast franchise, like, he's just horrible.
I want to see that Instagram video of Tyrese after he finds out that he's getting written out of the movie. And he's just, like, crying, begging for money from his fans.
And, you know, it'd actually be appropriate because that video is, what more do you want from me? Like, why are you firing me? What more do you want from me?
I could see him doing that in his, like, $150,000 Mercedes SUV.
In, like, a $10,000 bathrobe. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, cashmere bathrobe. Yeah, Tyrese got to go. I could take this series a little bit more serious if there wasn't Tyrese.
Honestly, I could too. Okay, so how would Tyrese die?
I would think it has to be something so gruesome that they never think about bringing him back. Because I feel like the Fast franchise is going the route that it's so ridiculous that at the end of the franchise, there's going to be fucking magic. There's going to be potions and shit. They can bring back Tyrese. I think it has to be so bad the way that he dies that it never crosses their mind to ever bring him back again.
Okay. So what? Tell me, what is that?
I don't feel like they would do a car accident because the whole Paul Walker thing. I don't think they would do that.
Yeah, that's probably not the best.
I want to say that he, at some point in the movie down the future, he's fucking skydiving into like a semi or something because that's what they do now. And he just splats onto the windshield of the semi.
Okay.
And it's just like blue mist everywhere.
To bring it back. Yes. Yeah, I'm 100% down behind the splat, the blue mist, all of it. I mean, Jesus Christ. The blue mist inclusion is
By the way, so this is definitely going to be an inside joke from now on in episodes. Yeah. Hi. I like the skydiving, the splat, the blue mist. I mean, it's honestly ingenious. Now, is it because he becomes mist? He's no longer, I mean, he's basically vaporized. So that eliminates any sort of scenario where he could come back.
That's my theory, is that he has to die so gruesome that he can't come back.
Unless, like, Fast and the Furious, like, 20, it's like the Fast and the Blue Mist or something like that.
They're reaching for anything.
Honestly, I feel like that's, just like I said, Taken 20, the whole world is taken. I could see the Fast and the Blue Mist. The Fast and the Furious Blue Mist. Or better yet, the Fast and the Furious : Blue Mist.
So
so yeah, Kevin, I'm down with the Fast and Furious stuff. I'm down with Tyrese going away. I think it would definitely bring a lot better stuff into the franchise, which I can't believe I said that, but honestly, that's a step in the right direction.
If Tyrese dies, are you going to see a Tyrese-less Fast and Furious?
Better yet, I'll actually go see the movie where he dies. I'll go through all that pain and suffering until the end where it happens.
Walk out during the on-screen funeral. Say, probably this guy.
Probably. So, you know, funny enough, my next character is actually someone else that I would also like to die. And my pick is any hero in the MCU, please, please. But I will say, specifically Captain America, not that I actually want Captain America to die, but I just need to put it out there, Kevin. All these heroes are immortal, and it kind of brings a blandness to an otherwise a perfect cinematic universe, honestly. Anytime the Avengers or any hero in the MCU fights insert bland CGI / boring villain, there's no tension whatsoever. They barely get a scratch, especially the A-list, or dare I say, platinum
especially heroes. Platinum
especially the platinum heroes. And by the way, anyone who says Quicksilver, fuck off. With Quicksilver.
I was just going to say that.
He was a low-rate semi-hero, poorly written. He died out of necessity.
He died so the studio could be like, we killed somebody. Look at this shit. We killed somebody.
He died because Evan Peters is much better Quicksilver, and fuck off if you don't think that.
100%. Okay. I love him.
I know you love X-Men. It. I know you love it. So yeah.
Good. Evan Peters is just a good actor.
He really is just a good actor. But yeah, as far as that's my thoughts on like the like MCU heroes just needing to die. Now, for Captain America, considering Chris Evans doesn't even want to be Cap anymore, it'd be appropriate for him to die. In fact, I think he should die in this summer's Marvel's The Avengers, The Infinity War, Part 1. but yeah, I think he should die in Infinity War, the Infinity War that's coming out in May. And kind of like Han Solo, actually sacrifice his life for something greater, something that would actually happen to Cap. Like, he would actually put his life out on the line for Avengers and for them to live, and he ends up sacrificing himself for something greater. Which, by the way, this actually, I mean, Captain America does die in the comic book. So, to bring it back to the source material, which again, don't know why it's not used, it did happen to him. Aftermath of the Civil War, so after like the whole, you know, like Iron Man's team versus Captain America's team storyline, which, by the way, the Aftermath of Civil War for Captain America is like one of the best Captain America series. So fucking good.
How does Captain America die at the end?
Okay,
of that?
So he is being plotted against by Red Skull, which is possessing another guy's body because he's killed by the Winter Soldier. And the Cosmic Cube is, he's like, his essence goes in the Cosmic Cube. And Dr. Sola, again, two characters killed off early in the movies. Don't know why. But they use another guy to basically, like, brainwash Agent 13, which is, like, that blonde girl in, like, Winter Soldier. Civil War. And they send Crossbones after Captain America to kill him. But in reality, they brainwashed Agent 13, and she's the one that kills him in, like, the commotion. Because Captain America is eventually, like, arrested, and he's, like, on his way to court. And he's, like, gunned down in, like, the courthouse, like, steps.
Oh, shit.
But by Agent 13. And then he's, like, dead. Like, they killed him off. Like, Falcon. Right? That's his name. Black Eye?
Yeah.
Yeah, he becomes Captain America.
Really?
Yep. For a while. And then they bring Captain America back because, you know, they get reborn in, like, different, in, like, various iterations of the actual comic.
It's like a Doctor Who type thing?
Yeah, kind of. But yeah, so thoughts on, first of all, any hero dying?
Yeah, I'm on board with that. I agree that more people need to die, just in general in movies. There's too many movies where nobody dies. And I'm
agreed.
I like seeing people die in movies.
It just gives that tension. Like,
yeah,
you know no one's safe.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I like Game of Thrones and Walking Dead. It's like, somebody's probably going to die.
Right.
And I knew that they killed off Steve Rogers. So it makes perfect sense. If they're going to kill anyone off, it should be him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that.
Even in the trailer, like, he, or, like, at the end of Civil War, he kind of, like, goes off and, like, no one knows where he went. And then in the Infinity War trailer, like, he's revealed and you're like, well, he kind of came in at an appropriate time and now it's the time for him to, like, sacrifice himself.
Yeah, agreed, 100%.
And if it happens, I don't know, is that really that much of a good guess?
I was kind of thinking that somebody would die, and I kind of thought it would either be the two people that have replacements, like Spider-Man or Captain America. And okay. I know it's not going to be Spider-Man. He's way too fresh.
Right, yeah.
Or Peter Parker, I should say.
I would say maybe Iron Man has the possibility of dying.
Does he die in the comics at all?
I feel like he may, but not of anything that I can remember, honestly. I think he more retires than dies.
Pulls one of the Batman playbook.
He pulls the Batman. He gets a bum leg. It's just
bum leg hobbling, like, around. Fucking,
yeah, bum leg hobbling around. yeah, you know, it's funny because, like, I feel like all the characters that we talked about, the ones that, you know, the ones that actually did die or didn't die, and then the ones that we came up with, it feels like at the end of the day, it all came down to greed.
Yeah.
At the end of today's episode, kids, we know greed is bad. it's insane. Like, literally every single one of these characters is like, no, we need you in a sequel. I feel like that's why a lot of characters don't die, is because we need them in a sequel or a spinoff movie, or
gotta sell some toys.
They gotta sell some toys. He's to be in the end credit scene for this movie. That's just how it's gone. That's just how it's become and how it'll always be.
Yeah, I think that's why studios are afraid to kill people off, is like, they don't want to close that loop of any possibility of a sequel, prequel, spinoff, anything. Mm-hmm. They don't want to close that loop.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Always comes down to, gotta sell those toys.
Yep.
Gotta sell those sequels. Gotta make more money.
Cheer.
But, yeah, man. I don't know. Do you have anything to plug?
We have an Instagram now. I guess that's something.
Yeah, we have an Instagram.
We've had for a while. We just never posted on it. But we're posting on it now, so go look.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we have? I don't think I have anything else to plug at this moment.
The Twitter. It's at Wicked Hot Talk, and that's also the Instagram. So super
consistency.
Easy.
Yeah. I love the consistency.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, I think that does it for us this week on Wicked Hot.
Bye, everybody.